so already. Yeah, baby, already.
Sound 42.
Turn it up. It's the Chop Not Slap Show. OG Rossi and DJ Candlestick.
Shop Stars OVO Gang.
DJ Candlestick. One time for the home of DJ School.
What up? Welcome to another episode of the Chop Shop Podcast. It's your boy F-Tank58. Shout out to my boy DJ Candlestick on the intro there. Keeping it real Houston, keeping it real flavor. Now, if you guys see the graphic for this, the title of this is that Scoot Henderson is going to be a Houston Rocket. It's in the air. The stars are aligning. Things are happening. It's been a busy day in the NBA, and a lot of news is coming out. And it's in the favor of me because y'all know how I feel about Scoot. I think he is, like Wemby is in his own tier of potential. Scoot is in his own tier than everybody else. But honestly, there's some people that, you know what I mean, you may talk into Scoot as far as having a better career than Wemby. So I might be in that camp. I don't know. I go back and forth from day to day. I try to see how they fit. But man, there's a lot of news going on in the NBA today relating to the Rockets, directly, indirectly. And I'm going to tap into that. So y'all, enjoy. So the first bit of news coming across the wire, Houston's very own James Harden is said to be torn about his decision to leave Philly or come back to Houston. Oh my, I'm devastated. I'm heartbroken. Where's the little violins we could play? Because James Harden is torn. I'm going to read a quote. This is from Shams on the Ryan Russillo podcast, okay? So the quote says, this is speaking about Harden. I don't think he knows as far as what I know about his mindset. I really think that he's torn with the prospect of staying in Philly or moving on to Houston, potentially, and returning back to his home. That's where his roots are. His family is there, of course. They've got upwards of $60 million in cap space, and they could even make more money available, close to $70 million in cap space by trades. So they're going to have a ton of money. And I think this is a team in Houston where I do believe they're going to be aggressive in the marketplace. That's the quote from Shams, giving the insight on the Harden mindset during this approaching pending free agency period as we have. And I want you all to notice within that quote about the decision to come back to Houston, there is not one mention about basketball. It's family, it's money, it's comfort. Everything but hoops. He's torn about everything but hoops. Now, if he's talking about Philly, he's talking about hoops. When he's talking about Houston, oh yeah, man, it's the fam. Yeah, you know, I like to ride down Westheimer on the weekends. I like to hang out with the bros. You know what I mean? Hit the club, do this, do that. It's all about the lifestyle, quality of life, which I appreciate as somebody that advocates for workers to enjoy their quality of life, to live in an environment where you can maximize both your professional and your private life. I'm not giving brother $50 million over 4 years to come here and chill, bro. That's the type of bag you give to somebody that's the only thought on their mind is getting a chip. And honestly, the way these quotes have been rolling out for James Harden, that mindset ain't there, bro. And I agree with what KJ's dad said about the Harden situation.
Do you have any interest in James Harden coming back to Houston to play with KJ, or don't like that?
No. Like James has made his mark in this league. He's done what he had to do. I just don't think you putting him in a situation where your core guys that you are depending on are 19, 20, 21, 22 years old. Because you stunt their growth and their development. If you're depending on Jalen to be this superstar that you were trying to put him in role to be, then I think it's going to stunt Jalen's growth and Jabari and Sengun and those kids who you drafted first round high, who you feature, who you depend on. I just think James, the way he demands the ball and his style of play right now, will stunt their growth. And I don't think that's fair to them. Yeah. But I don't sign the checks. So.
Basically, what he's saying is that Harden's style is not compatible with developing future superstars. Harden's style is compatible with developing role players, elite. The hell, they could be elite role players, not compatible with developing future superstars. Y'all know my stance on this. I'm not pivoting whether he comes, pause, or whether he stays in Philly. I'm not pivoting off of that. I'm staying with my stance there because, honestly, I just don't think that he is coming for the right reasons. Like, he's not coming here to Houston to try to win a ring, bro. He's not here even to say that, hey, my whole thing is just basketball. I'm here to help, you know, help the team in any way I can. Y'all seen the earlier releases. It was, I want to play my way. I want to, you know, have the freedom to play the same way that I play. I want to do this. I want to do that. That doesn't reconcile with, to me, what should be long-term game for the plan. And I love the fact that the Houston Rockets actually grew a pair and actually pushed back a little bit, saying that there might not be just 100% excitement about the organizations to throw the full bag at Harden. So kudos to them, man. Good job. This whole situation, like, and I put a tweet out that said that the Rockets aren't simps anymore. And y'all don't know what a simp is. Like, you know, you probably had a friend in school. Some of y'all are still in school that maybe he liked the girl and the girl didn't like him back, or it was his girl. She cheated on him, did him wrong, embarrassed him in front of everybody, but he keeps going back. He keeps going back. Then played him. He keeps going back. The Rockets shouldn't be simping for James Harden, right? Play it cool, man. I like that. That move that they did is playing it cool. That's what you want. You want them to be able to not look desperate. It was kind of getting a little desperate. It was embarrassing because on a basketball note, even for the Rockets perspective, yeah, I could see a reason to bring back James Harden on a certain price and a certain length of contract. But just to say we're going to throw the bag no matter come hell or high water doesn't make sense to me. Doesn't make sense for James Harden. Doesn't make sense for the Rockets. Unless Harden's only plays to get the bag. And unless the Rockets don't really care about winning in the long term, they just care about selling tickets and being on ESPN. So other than that, you know what I mean? That's the only thing that makes sense. The best and most ideal case for me is for them to bring in some other vets. And, you know, the reports came in as well that if the Rockets, and this is from Jake Fisher, Yahoo Sports, he had a report saying that, you know, obviously the Rockets are still going to be aggressive in trying to get players, including James Harden. He's the only free agent that's really tied to the Rockets. You also have him dropping a little nugget in there. Could the Rockets possibly trade or not trade, but make a move to try to acquire Kyrie Irving, which, yeah, I don't know how I feel about that, but depending on the contract, I don't know. Kyrie is, you know what I mean? He's a bucket, but I don't really see what he does for the needle in Houston. But regardless, he did drop that. They could also pivot to Fred VanVleet. Now, all of these names are just names, and it's to the point where you just have to think about, it doesn't really matter what the name is. All of these guys are going to be upgrades at the positions that they get. The problem is, like, what is a contract going to look like? Because for a team that has so many young, talented players, unless we're doing the LeBron in LA where we're just trading, aggregating multiple young players and shipping them out to go win a chip, just keep business as usual. Keep pushing. Keep going forward. That's the only thing that makes sense to me for saying that I'm going to trade away Jabari. I'm going to trade away Jalen Green. I'm going to trade away Alperen Şengün, Tari. We're going to cobble together three or four of these guys we've drafted and ship them out because you want to win a championship. The goal has to be championship. And I just don't see a window with that with James Harden as a player making $40, $50 million that won't be your best player. He's not going to be the best player on a championship team. That window is sailed. And hell, he might not be the second best player on the championship team, especially in the playoffs when you're trying to win a championship. So if that's the case, then what are we doing? Really ask yourself, if for some of you that want James Harden, why do you want him on the team? And what does this mean to Scoot Henderson? I'm gonna get there, but let's keep going.
Neither thing is guaranteed, you know what I mean? If I go here or go there, I mean, so I mean, I really don't know, but I think I've made it clear, you know, what my wishes are. You know, I want to do it. I want to have an opportunity to win in Portland. And, you know, right now we got the, we got a opportunity asset wise to build our team that, that can build a team that can compete. You know, that would be the number one thing. But if we can't do that, then, you know, obviously, like I've said, you know, for months now, like, then there's a separate conversation that we would have to have. But, you know, I got, you know, we just got to let things take its course and see where it lands and go from there. But
so Damian Lillard just came out and said what he said, basically putting the fire to the feet of the Portland Trail Blazers, insinuating that, hey, man, I'm not trying to babysit no third pick. I need some guys that can help me win now. I'm trying to win here in Portland. And as much as, you know what I mean, that's crazy that Portland isn't trying to move him and restart. I get it. Small market, all that. I respect Dame because he has that mindset that you wish that James Harden would have, which is I'm trying to build a championship contender. Not trying to, yes, you know, is this, is that. But for us, that's a good thing, right? Because it forces Portland to look at possibly moving that pick. The only issue I could see with that for us is that if the team that he's considering or they're considering trading to doesn't really, you know, they really do want a young player. So, for example, the Torontos of the world, the Brooklyns of the world, that would actually draft Scoot Henderson if he was there. And the reason that Scoot might fall to three is because there's a report from Bleacher Report saying that Charlotte is leaning towards Brandon Miller at two. Now, all of this is just smoke and mirrors. It's cap. You know what I mean? We know how this goes. We saw this with the Jabari parade in Orlando. For Orlando to basically change their mind in the last minute and draft Paolo. All of this is cap. The order of these players could go up and down, down and up. But there's a lot of posturing going on in the NBA. There's a lot of posturing with competing priorities for these teams. And to me, the chaos is good for us because nobody wants to show their hands. And I'm hoping and praying that the Rockets are part of that group of people that we're also capping. I hope we're capping about Harden. Either way, whether it's capping about, hey, we'll go all in for him, or, yeah, you know, we don't care. Let it be cap. That's all good for us to be, for it to be cap. Or they're capping about liking Amen Thompson. They're capping because it's not really about what they do. It's the mystery and the leverage that it creates when you have untold decisions. Stone messed up by damn near telegramming to every GM in the league that he had a infatuation with Paolo Banchero. I mean, there was that Bert Steele guy that released a picture of them eating steaks together. A rookie mistake by him. So as I see all these GMs out here basically just lying, oh yeah, we love this kid. Oh yeah, we're leaning towards him. Hey, more chaos because that's good for Houston. That is good for Houston. That is good for Houston for us to be able to get the guys that we want. And that opens up the door for us to get on Scoot. So the path that I see for us to be able to land Scoot Henderson looks like this. San Antonio, undoubtedly, they're going to draft Wemby, number one. Easy. That's money. That's money in the bank. You can take that to the bank. So he's gone off the board. Number two pick comes in. Mitch Kupchak calls, picks up the phone, gives a call in. They bump their head. They're thinking about LaMelo. We want LaMelo to be the franchise guy. We got Miles Bridges coming out of prison or wherever he was in the past few months. We got, you know what I mean? We got, we got some money. We're going to throw the bags, try to build a team. And we think Brandon Miller can be the next Jason Tatum. So they draft him. Bang. They draft him. So now you got Amen Thompson, you got Scoot Henderson, you got the Blazers. They're on the phone. They're on the phone. They're trying to make a deal. Dame is there looking at the owner, sitting there. He's in the room. They're making a draft. So they're looking at Scoot. They're looking at a man, Thompson, and they cave. They get a call from Brooklyn, or they get a call from Toronto, or they get a call from Minnesota, or they get a call from Chicago. And that team says, hey, man, hey, we got, you know what I mean? I got Pascal Siakam here, man, for you, for that third pick. Or I got, you know what I mean? This guy for that third pick. And then Houston calls in and says, hey, it's okay. You want to move Pascal over to Portland? Well, they're going to give you the, what, the third pick? That's cute. They're trying to win games. They're trying to be a contender. That's cute, man. You might get, you know, you might get a nice player back. Maybe Anthony Simons. That's cool. But, you know what I mean? Why don't you just pick one pick later? You know what I mean? You know who we're going to get. You can still get a stud at the number four pick. And we'll throw you a couple future firsts. You get the number four pick. We'll give you a 2025 first round pick from Brooklyn, 24 swap. So that's three first round picks essentially. And you move up. Hang up the phone. Deal done. I think that's because you're going to have to overpay to move up. I'm that high on Scoot Henderson. Yes, three first round picks. That's probably the highest you're going to get. Historically, it's been two first round picks to move up in a draft. Even if it's two spots or one spot, it's usually a future first and the current first that you're in trying to swap from. So you get the three team trade from Team X, gives Portland a good player. Rockets send picks over to Team X. Portland kicks third pick over to Houston. Houston drafts Scoot Henderson. Scoot Henderson, you're a Rocket. Scoot Henderson, you're a Rocket. And then after this happens in my dream world, and this is a dream scenario for me, James Harden decides to stay in Philly for whatever reason. And he's like, you know what? I'm actually not somebody that's going to run from the grind and run from legacy and run from trying to win at the highest level. I'm not somebody that's going to run to comfort. I'm not somebody that's going to leave the current league MVP to come home, man. I got a private jet. If I want to see my family, my mom, my sister, I want to see my restaurant, I'll be there just like I go to Vegas, just like I go anywhere I want to go in between practices. I can be home. You know what I mean? I don't live with my family. So, you know what I mean? I'm a millionaire. I can travel. So he stays in Philly. You know what I mean? Earn some respect. Faces that music. Tries to rectify going out on that city and that team like he did in that last game. And not look like a guy that runs and runs and runs when the situations get tough. Hey, man, fix your legacy, man. Because that's something that's really unspoken about for James Harden. Somebody that used to be a big fan of his and still supports him in theory as a player. That's simp, man. That's simp move. That's sucker move, man. Dude been moving like a sucker, man. And I don't care what's happening in Brooklyn. How he left Houston was ugly. How you left Brooklyn was ugly. And you trying to leave Philly ugly. And you burning bridges across the way. And here we are. Hey, come back. You cheated on me. You were my best friend, but come back anyways. I want you back. Nah, it's not like that. And it should never be like that. So I'm hoping in this dream scenario, once that Scoot Henderson pick is in play, you kill two birds, one stone. Not only do you have a franchise ball handler that addresses the need that the Rockets are saying that they have at the point guard. And that's something that was in that Jake official report, is that the Rockets are trying to get a lead ball handler like immediately. So that means KPJ is probably out as a lead ball handler. And they're trying to upgrade at the center position and get some shooting on the team. So, you know what I mean? I don't know what that means for all the other players, but they're really trying to improve the team. You kill two birds, you get a point guard that you could have for the next, what, 7 to 8 years, the next decade. You get a guy that you can build with. So from that case, it's a done deal for me, man. It's a done deal. That would be my perfect summer. That's how I view it. I would just be head over heels if everything turned out like that. Now, obviously, this is all speculation. This is wishful thinking. We don't know what's going to happen. The Rockets could trade the pick, trade back. They could not pick. They could pick. They could trade. You know what I mean? Trade up to two. We don't know what's going to happen. Maybe both teams don't pick. Nobody picks. Maybe we don't have to do anything, and we just sit there. And Portland picks, you know what I mean, Brandon Miller because they want to give Dame shooting, or they pick Amen Thompson because they think his defensive upside, and we get Scoot Henderson. That's the beautiful thing about this, is that all this chaos going on benefits the Rockets. It's a benefit to us because the unknown is always good for the underdog. The unknown is always good for the underdog, and that's something I'll give Stone some credit for, that he's not out here telegramming and just basically saying everything that everybody expects him to say. The front office actually has some smarts about what they're doing. And that leads me to my last point about all this.
Playing time was definitely something that KJ has had to go and earn this year. He has a breakout year. Are you happy, encouraged of the direction of the Rockets right now? Do you think the Ime Udoka hire was a good new step for them?
I do. I like Ime's background, for one, coaching tree, coaching playing for Pop, coaching under Pop. I think that goes a long way, man. And within, to just look at the history of assistants that's left Pop. So how can I not be encouraged by that? And who KJ is as a basketball player, I think Ime will appreciate. I don't think people before appreciated what KJ did and how KJ approached the game. And I think KJ fits what Ime is going to try to do. Tough nose, hard nose, play the right way, go out and get it done, kind of an attitude, which I see of him. He has a serious side, which I think is going to play a big factor in Houston. They got to switch that roster up, obviously. Yeah, but I'm excited for KJ and what MA can do for KJ.
So one underrated part about this offseason so far, despite all the things I've just said, even if we did everything I just laid out, we got Scoot Henderson without having to trade up. James Harden is here. He's not here. We make a big trade to sign somebody. All of that is great and all of that is well. But the number one thing the Rockets have done in this free agency, it's already done. They could literally just do nothing and still have already made the biggest splash they're going to make by hiring Ime Udoka. And I just feel like this was such a monumental hire that, I mean, even though I've talked about it several times, I just wanted to remind you all like how impressive this is, that we have what we have in Coach Udoka from where we were with Steven Silas. No shot at Steven Silas. I'm just saying, there's levels, you know what I mean? There's levels to this, and definitely the pedigree for me is really what gets you excited about a coach like Udoka, because he comes from a line of just great coaches. And this line is held together by the one Greg Popovich, San Antonio Spurs coach, the most winningest coach in NBA history, the legend. Even though obviously as a Rocket fan, you don't want to give Pop too much credit, but man, the dude, obviously we know greatness is greatness. You know what I mean? We ain't going to hate. Dude is the man. He's one of the best coaches in sports and one of the most known coaches in sports. So I wanted to take this time to kind of just look into how Pop has influenced great coaches like Udoka over the years in his career, to let you guys get a little bit excited about what we have coming up this season. So if we get, you know, maybe we do draft Brandon Miller, or maybe we trade back, you're not going to be bummed out, because whatever the Rockets do, we're in the green. We're in the green. We got a great coach. That transcends any individual player acquisition that we can make, unless it's like Kevin Durant or somebody coming to Houston. Pretty much, if you got a great coach, look at Spoelstra, look at Malone, like they're going to figure it out, right? They'll figure it out. The Nick Nurses of the world. They'll take talent and make talent perform well and overperform. That's really what you want out of your coach. So I'm going to quote here from the Jonathan Fagan interview with Ime Udoka. And here's the question that Jonathan asked him, saying, how do you set up your staff? That's my Jonathan voice. Do you have a guy that coaches the defense and a guy who runs the offense? And here's Coach Udoka's response. He said, I don't use an offensive coordinator. That's my email voice. Defensive coordinator thing. So he doesn't use the offensive coordinator, defense coordinator thing. He says, the way I learned and what helped me become a more well-rounded coach ad pop-up. The way I learned and what helped me become a more well-rounded coach is to do a little bit of everything. This is the way I learned for 7 years under Pop. We have guys who scout opposing teams. We have a game plan for how we're going to defend these guys and what offensive concepts might work against them. I think it helps coaches grow, which I'm big on. So he's big on internal development. He's big on professional development for his coaches, which is great because everybody gets the chance to be the leader, gets a chance to be in that seat of a head coach. And this is Pop's philosophy. He goes on to say, for me, I like to hear different voices. I want the players to hear different voices, not just the same guy talking about defense. I think it works for the team. Pop is well-rounded, and he wanted us to be focused on everything. Player development, relationships, offense, defense, game plans, everything. Bars. Like, just breaking that down, just think about that conceptually for what he's really saying there. Pop is, if you guys don't know, they actually run a coaching development camp out of San Antonio. I don't know if they're still doing it, but I know they did it for years, where a lot of coaches would go there and learn from some of the best. They would gather up together and learn from under Pop. And he's mentored indirectly probably hundreds of coaches in basketball, college, in high school, in the pros, and overseas. But I just want you to hear what he's saying there. Like, Popovich's philosophy on developing coaches is that he wants to treat them as the future leaders and great coaches they're going to be. Now, we've heard about, you know, the Mike D'Antoni, like when we had MDA and Bezdelic, it was like Bezdelic was a defensive coach because MDA wasn't great on defense. I remember the joke with, I don't know if it was Stephen A. Smith or what's his face that used to say that it's Mike Antoni. I think that was Skip because there's no D in D'Antoni. Right. So pause. But you know what I mean? So just thinking about that, like that kind of binary, the coaches here that does offense, coaches that does defense. I mean, it's good, and you could win at that level to some extent, but to have that well-rounded mind as a head coach, because you're the guy that's going to make the big decision. I want a guy that can lend his expertise at every level of the game, not just offense or defense. And Udoka really is saying that the way Popovich views developing these coaches to make them well-rounded, you're going to scout. You're going to be a guy that can hold guys accountable, Steven Silas. You're going to be a guy that can develop players like a John Lucas. You can be a guy that can have relationships like a John Lucas. You can run the offense like Mike D'Antoni. You can run the defense like Bezdelic. You can come up with the schemes and the game plans like the X and O's guys across the NBA. You're supposed to be able to do everything as a head coach and guide those guys under you to really develop more. And this is where Ime is coming from with it. And to me, this is the reason why the Popovich tree guys and the Pop tree is a thing. And I posted a post on our Chop Shop post, just kind of going over what the Pop tree is. So I'm going to go over just some of that tree, just so you guys could see what I mean by when I say Pop tree. So obviously we're going to start off with our own Ime Udoka. So Ime, Pop tree guy, lucky we got him. He's here with us. You know what I mean? His connection to Greg Popovich, he played under him 2008, 9, and 11. And he was an assistant coach from 2012 to 2019, so 7 years under him. In one of those years in 2014, he won a championship. He also coached and won gold with Team USA with Popovich under him as an assistant for Team USA, along with Steve Kerr, right? So he got to kind of work with them as well. And Ime, in his first season as the Celtics, has a 62% win percentage. Also took his team to the finals. Pop tree guy. So I want you guys to notice a theme of these coaches that come from the Popovich tree. Number two coach, Mike Budenholzer, NBA champion with the 2021 Bucks. He was connected to Pop through coaching with him from 96 to 2013. And then he went on to Atlanta, et cetera, et cetera. Mike has a 60% win percentage as a head coach. Two-time coach of the year in 2015 and 2019. That's a Pop guy, Pop tree guy, right? Next is Taylor Jenkins, which he's a kind of the outshoot from Mike Budenholzer. But his connection to Popovich, he was a Spurs intern from 2007 to 2008. Also, he coached on the Spurs G League team. I think they're like Austin Toros or something like that. And y'all don't flame me if I'm wrong. But he was their coach there. And obviously, you know, the connections between the G League, D League back then, farm systems and the main teams from 2008 to 2013. And he was also a Hawks assistant coach under Bud, Mike Budenholzer, from 2013 to 18. So he's almost like a grand coach. He's a grandkid coach for Greg Popovich. And, you know, since he's been on Memphis in the 4 years, they made the playoffs three out of those 4 years. And he's also a D-League champion with his time with the Spurs development team. Next coach, Mike Brown. That's, yep, Mike Brown, who just won Coach of the Year this season. Mike Brown, two-time Coach of the Year winner in 2009 and 23. He was the Spurs assistant coach from 2000 to 2003, and it also made the finals with the Cavs. He has a 61% win percentage. These are the Pop Tree guys. This is the pedigree we're getting. You get a Monty Williams that's going to be Coach Silas's new boss. Monty, obviously the Suns' previous coach, now going to be in Detroit with Stephen Silas. He is a Coach of the Year award winner 2012. Connection to Pop was he was an intern in San Antonio for 2004-2005. Also played under Pop from 96 to 98. That player aspect is not a small thing. If you hear these guys that played for him that become coaches, they say the relationship was building their how they view developing players, how they view interacting with players, how they view the game, X's and O's, really starts when you're a player in San Antonio. And if you have a mind for coaching, he really does instill that early on. And these relationships, even though guys aren't directly coaching under him, he mentors a lot of these dudes. He mentors a lot of them. And Monty, if you watch some interviews, he really has high praises in the impact that that Pop had for him as a coach. He was a 2012 Coach of the Year. Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr is basically Popovich's biggest fan. His connection to him, he was a Spurs player from 98 to 2003. He also coached with Pop on Team USA in 2020. They won a gold medal. And you know how those Team USA things go. You're coaching, meeting up every summer for years and years and years leading up to the actual Olympics. And so him and Pop have a very, very close relationship. He said Pop is one of the most influential people in his life. And you know what Steve's resume looks like. 66% win percentage, four-time NBA champs, five finals appearances, Coach of the Year in 2016, 15 greatest coaches in NBA history. Steve Kerr out of the Popovich tree. You also have an executive, Sam Presti. Sam Presti was a Spurs video coordinator under Popovich. Remember, Popovich was like the GM and the coach for some time in San Antonio. But you have Sam Presti, video coordinator there. He was AD of scouting. So you know how the scout and the coach work hand in hand. Really worked under Pop in 2002. Moved up quickly to the director of player personnel in 2003. He was a VP and assistant GM from 2005 to 2007 under Pop, even though it was R.C. Buford. You know the jokes about San Antonio and Popovich being like the GM, the president, everything for that. So that's Sam Presti. And you already know that he was also part of the 2003, 2005, and 2007 Spurs championship team, three rings in San Antonio. So he knows about how to get it done. And he's also attributed a lot to what Greg Popovich has done for him. Then we have WNBA with Becky Hammon, who there was a time I kind of thought about Becky being one of our getting a chance. And I wouldn't have been mad if they hired her as the Rockets head coach. And her first season in the WNBA, she went and got a ring, man. That's the pedigree. She went and got a ring. Just stepped in and got that ring. She was the, you know, Spurs assistant. She was a Spurs assistant from 2014 to 2021. And first season already has a 76% win percentage as a coach. So just look at this tree. Look at this talent. I'd even get to touch on the Quinn Snyders of the world that was in their D-League system that came out of there. We didn't talk about, the Jacques Vaughns of the world, the James Borregos, Will Hardy, who is a grandkid of Pop through Ime Udoka, even though he was also in the D-League system with Popovich and then became a assistant. All of these guys are connected. And the main connection they have is Greg Popovich. And guess what, guys? We have one of those guys. And you know how you know he's the goods? You know he's the goods? Because the first time he got a swing on that thing, he took the team to the finals. So who else did that? Steve Kerr? Guess what he did when he first got his head coach job? Took a team to the finals. Becky Hammon? Guess what she did when she got her first coaching job? She won the finals. You know what I mean? Monty Williams, a few years removed. You know, he had his ups and downs, but he finally peaked, did get a team to the finals. Bud is like a winning machine wherever he goes. Taylor Jenkins, winning machine. Jacques Vaughn, a couple bumps and bruises from back in the day, but had some time in San Antonio, probably transformed his career. James Borrego, kind of, you know what I mean? He's you know, not hitting like he's supposed to. Will Hardy, we saw what he did. Mike Brown, we see what he did with the Cavs. Mike Brown, for all his, you know, he didn't win a championship. Dude's a winner, man. Dude's a winner. Dude is a winner. These are the guys. These are this is the DNA that Ime Udoka is cut from. This is what it's about. So if we don't get James Harden, we don't get Scoot Henderson, we don't get anybody, and we just show up with the same damn roster with even Dacian Nix on there. Guys, you got a championship level coach with a championship pedigree from a lineage and is relationship wise to the greatest coaches in our game, in this game of basketball. So that is something that no matter what happens this offseason, we can take that to the bank, Jack. That's something you can just rest easy on. And the most exciting part about the Rockets upcoming season, of all the great things that we're looking forward to, is getting to see this guy go to work with these young, talented players. Now, I know I've said a lot, you know what I mean? Packed a lot into this episode, but I do want you guys to let me know, what do you think about James Harden being torn? Do you care? Do you see a world where Scoot just falls right to Houston? Because this is looking like it. Are these teams capping? I would say yes. I think there's a lot of big capping going on. A lot of line, a lot of smokes and mirrors. And then the Ime Udoka thing, like the post said, are you guys excited about this as I am? That you got a guy that literally the DNA, he's cut from a different cloth. He's cut from a different cloth. You got a guy that from day one, it's excellence. It demands excellence in the building. Y'all let me know in the comments. Let me know in the chat. Keep rocking with the Chop Shop. Keep supporting us. Be on the lookout on, I think it's Monday, June 12th. At 2 p.m., I'll be doing a live stream about some of these trade ideas and possible trades through the Bleacher Report app. I'll post that in the post so you guys can know the instructions on how to get on there. But Bleacher Report is trying out something new. They want to get some content creators from the local fan bases to stream on their platform. So they holler at your boy. So I'm going to be out there representing the Houston Rockets on their app. Trend setting like the Chop Shop always does. So y'all tap and support that. Keep rocking with us, and we're going to keep dropping that
fire.